Welcome into another episode of We're Talking. Today we're talking basketball, Raging Cajun basketball with Mike Hebert. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Doing okay, Craig. Getting ready to go visit some family on a trip to Orlando on Friday. So getting prepared for that and handling some other family duties, but still found time to evaluate what happened in the last two games.
Well, let's jump right in because outcomes were not pretty. I think there were some moments that we played well, but at the same time, it's not the kind of road trip you want, so to say the least.
No.
So go ahead. Let's get started on the first half of the Southern Miss game.
Yeah. The first thing I noticed in the Southern Miss game was what a great crowd, providing a great environment. I actually think that actually pumped up the Cajuns. Sometimes you, regardless of your road at home, if you have a crowd, you want to play for them versus an empty gym, regardless of where you're playing. So great environment. I think it's a positive to play in that kind of environment because if we want to get to the program level, we want to be that to become more common. And it's also good for the Sun Belt Conference. These new teams have really sparked a resurgence in basketball efficiency, in my view. So I'm sure you were pretty impressed with their crowd as well.
Yeah, it was, you know, I've been to that stadium and everything, and it's fun to be there. Very impressive, kind of a letdown that Saturday playing ULM and not nearly the same crowd, but they were able to get their fans into them, to their arena. So kudos to them.
Yeah, and they were behind against ULM at half, so probably had a letdown fans, teams all across the board. If you recall last week, I said I'd expect Southern Miss to get out to a nice lead. Not a nice lead, but some lead because they're going to be pumped. And that happened when they cut a couple early threes. It was 10-something. But our guys, I thought early in the game, responded okay. You know, like I said, I think the crowd was actually helping us have motivation as well. I think Pickney made a three. I think he's one of the better players in the league. I've said that several times, and another guy did too. So early on, I thought it's okay. We're doing all right here. From a technical perspective, I noticed that once again, they were trying to guard Jordan Brown with Hase, however you pronounce his name, the guy from Chile. And he was struggling guarding Jordan in the first half. I also noticed Greg was a little cold. You know, he struggled offensively against them the first game, but he's guarding Hase. So, you know, pretty much normal game, you know, feeling each other out to the 20-point mark. Yeah. How do you feel about the opening?
I thought it was, the first half I thought was fine, but I think the most glaring thing was our shooting from the three, not only in the first half, but overall. So 2 for 5 is not bad. I mean, we'll take that at 40%. But and I thought Jordan did a great job of recognizing when he was double-teamed in the first half. So,
yeah, and even though we didn't get a three, team has got some baskets on drives. In fact, I thought team has played very well in the first half. We got a 10-point lead. It was 34-24, 36-26, with about 4 minutes to go, and team was doing well. Well, I will make one point here that I think should be emphasized. That 10-point lead was not enough. It should have been larger because the Cajuns missed several shots near the basket, and I would say that they were being a little over-aggressive. You know, they were so pumped up. They were shooting the ball too hard. I know Kobe Julian once, three times actually, he got to the basket, made one layup, and he shot a couple others too hard. When you're going to the basket and you have that much energy, you need to dunk it. If you just shoot it hard off the backboard, you're going to miss it. And I ascribe that to being too pumped up, too much energy. So, you know, that 10-point lead could have been 15. Indicative of how much they were struggling in that regard. At one time, late in the second half, Southern Miss had outscored the Cajuns 9-0 on fast break points. And the turnovers were about even at that stage. So, again, not taking advantage of opportunities. Now, I don't know if you noticed this, too, but their comeback started with a putback followed by an and-one. I think it was their point guard who came off the bench. He really gave them a spark. So, despite us being up 5 when teammates made that light basket, I didn't think we had that momentum. I felt the momentum was with Southern Miss at half. Did you agree?
Yeah, I think that's one of the The Cajuns have been really hot or cold when we start the second half. They've been able to either play well if they're behind, but sometimes when we get ahead or we have a lead at halftime, we don't come out focused in the second half.
Yeah. Well, first minute, you know, we got the lead back up to seven twice, but even then I could tell something's different here because the adjustments by USM continued the momentum, and it was both adjustments involved Hosley. They brought a guy named Marmon off the bench to guard Jordan. So Hosley didn't have to spend nearly as much energy on defense, allowing him to focus more on offense. And he was also much more patient when he got the ball. When they get the ball in the post or whatever, you know, he wasn't really rushing his shot. He would take his time to get to his spot and shoot a mid-range layup. And then the next thing you know, he got hot and he started making threes. They even put Joe in on him, and Joe's our best defensive player. But once you get it going, an offensive player, basketball is a little different from football. Good offense beats good defense in basketball. And other guys also were able to focus more on Jordan in addition to Marmon because, as you said, we weren't hitting the outside shots. When Cantrell hit on only two of the game, and I think the last one was with 7 minutes to go in the half. At that point, you'd have never guessed that was going to happen. That would be our last three. And of course, the cages were cold from three, so Marmon's guarding Jordan. Other guys are making him hard to get the ball, and they're telling him basically prove it to us. And our guys just couldn't make shots, and they also continued to, when I think, rush their shots because they were just a little too pumped up.
I was going to ask you about that. Not to pick on Greg Williams, but he was 0 for 4 from the 3-point line, 1 for 8 for field goals altogether. Do you think that was because he was rushing and he wasn't getting set? What was your thoughts there on specifically Greg?
My thought was he was spending so much energy on guarding Hasse. You know, he's 6'3", guarding a 6'9" guy in the game in the Cajun Dome. He also went 2 for 10 when the Cajuns won by double figures. So I think it's too much energy there. So maybe we played him again. We'll maybe have to look at a different defensive assignment on that guy. He's just a hard matchup for us. But you're also right. Not only he, but the whole team, I think, rushing their shots. The Eagles also did a good job, but don't want to be too negative on the Cajuns. Give them credit. You know, when Hasse started getting hot and we started to double him, nobody could guard him. He did a good job of passing it out. Pinckney hit another big shot. They hit guys in the middle of the lane. You know, we overpressure a little bit, you know, trying to get back in the game, and they get some close-in shots. It got to be a helter-skelter pace with about 10 minutes to go, and I just think that favored the Eagles for whatever reason. Probably because we were pressed because we were behind. One thing that's also unfortunate is we got them into the bonus halfway through the first half. And what, you know, it was 7-1 or 8-2 on fouls in our favor. But in the last 10 minutes of the game, those same fouls were not called. Same plays. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I find that it's very inconsistent. It seems like this year more than ever, especially down low, they're not calling a foul unless the shot's missed. It's a late call, but I talked to Coach Marlin about it a couple years ago, and he's fine with that. But at the same time, they weren't calling the fouls that I thought should have been down low. And I know that's just one side looking at it from the Cajun side. I could care less if they call it on Southern Miss, so I'm probably being biased here as well.
Yeah, well, the Eagles did also do a good job of protecting the rim as the half went on. Even Jordan got his shot blocked once.
Yep.
I forget by who. So, you know, kudos to them for playing a really good game. I will say, well, there was one positive late in the game, I thought, was that Jalen Dockort gave us a few baskets off the bench late in the game. And I remember last year in February, he started to come on after a little slump. Maybe the same thing will happen. But then, you know, as the game went on, with a 4 or 5 minutes to go, the Cajuns started rushing their threes, taking nothing but threes, not being patient. Sometimes you don't have to shoot. You just basically bury yourself, letting the team in when you just shoot those threes so quickly, thinking you're trying to get a 5-point play, which is impossible, of course. And then, you know, we're also pressuring them a little bit, and then they're able to separate, and they put the game away at the line when we have to foul. So, in conclusion, I would say the Cajuns played with great energy and passion, and the USM crew fueled that, but it's a positive to play in that kind of environment. But they didn't control that energy. You know, they rushed their shots, and they even shots near the basket were not laid up properly. When I used to coach Biddy basketball, I used to tell kids, go up strong, but shoot it soft, if that makes any sense. That's sort of contradictory. But if you're not going to dunk it, you have to actually lay it in them soft off the glass. And late in the game, we also chased the ball a little bit too much. And what I mean by that, whoever the ball is at, you send multiple defenders out that way versus staying on your assignment that allows layups. So kudos to the Eagles. You know, we have our struggles, but they played very well for the last 25 minutes of the game. And the first 15 minutes of the game, the Cakers were the better team. But 10-point lead was not enough. That needed to be 15 and needed to be double figures at halftime. And if they had played with a little more control, maybe that would have happened.
I know we talked about it already as far as individuals and things like that, but the 3-point shooting to me was the difference in the game. You know, I took out the non-D1 games, and the Cajuns coming into the game were shooting 39% almost, averaging about 7 3-pointers per game. And the Cajuns only made 2 3-pointers on that game. If they make 5 more, they're average. We win the game. But I agree with you. You can't let a team back into it, and you've got to make the easy shots and put your foot on their throat and crush them. So,
yeah. Well, that was the main observation I had from analyzing the box score: 2 for 15, and both up Cantrell. No one else made a three. We only had 6 assists. When we were winning, we were getting easily in double figures. Teams had 4 of those. We also only had 2 guys in double figures, just Jordan and Timas. They're only 2, so maybe 7 or 8 other guys struggled. But here's an indicator of how hard the Cajuns played. They out-rebounded the Eagles by 11. That's always indicative of how hard you're playing. The Eagles have to be happy from their perspective. They shot 53%. But again, some of that was late, you know, when the Cajuns were pressuring. But still, you give them credit for shooting the ball well. And I also think Pinckney's a solid player. Look at their box score. He had good numbers all the way up and down the line. But he also had baskets at key times in the game. When the Cajuns were making a run, he'd stymie it or further their runs. So anything else you have to say about that game?
Well, I'll just say this. You know, when Crowley got his points in the Cajun Dome, they were late. The majority of them were late. I think he only had 2 points or 3 points in the first half. I thought he played he got 13 points again, not a whole lot, but I think he is really the guy that sparks that team and can lead them to victory. So I didn't think we did as good a job on him, even though box scores wise, he was probably about the same. I did see the same thing with the assist. Again, only 10 turnovers. I know we'd like to keep it under 10, but that's not horrible. I think it goes back to the 3-point shooting and getting rushing our shots. But I say rushing our shots, but at the same time, like you said, the defense was there for Southern Miss and they caused those rush shots. I don't think it was uncontested 3-pointers that we threw up and off balance, I guess is my point.
Yeah. A couple of those happened late in the game because we were desperate. Another note from the box score, I mentioned his name earlier, but this guy didn't play in the first game, point guard off the bench named Alvarez. And he changed the pace of the game with his quickness. He had a great game. He had 17 points, 4 assists, 2 steals off the bench. You know, there's nobody on our bench that equal that. At one time, they had outscored us 20-7 or something like that. And, I mean, so their bench outplayed ours in that game as well. You know, Joe Charles only had 1 point. Now, he redeemed himself on Saturday. We'll talk about that game in a little bit. But, you know, their bench outplayed ours. I think in the first game that wasn't the case. So we maybe didn't account for this guy because we didn't play for him the first time. We play him again in Pensacola. They'll probably have something ready for him. Yeah, so disappointing. And remember last week we said regardless of what happens on Thursday, will be interesting to see what happens on Saturday. And we'll talk about that game now, if you like.
Yeah, let's go straight to that. The first half of that game, I thought really it was one of those things that you can't let Thursday night's game affect your Saturday night's game. And I think a lot of that happened. I don't know if it was because tired. You look at the number of minutes that Themis Fox played in the game on Thursday. I think we exerted a lot of energy because of their crowd on Thursday and probably weren't ready for Saturday's games. But
I agree. But, you know, from a technical perspective, you know, Troy's known as a team that likes to shoot threes. They shoot 20 plus a game. You know, I think they got 20 in this game. But early in this game, first 5 minutes, they were going inside because they had success late in the game in Lafayette going inside, which dictates the way to three. That only lasted 5 or 6 minutes. Then they got to more of their regular offense. But one thing I noticed, building on what you said, is coach started subbing early. You know, we were putting multiple substitutes in, 4 or 5 guys with 8 minutes gone in the half. Usually we're bringing in 1 or 2 guys in at that time. So maybe he saw something, the same thing you did, that the energy was lacking. Now, the bench did okay. You know, Jalen hit some shots. Joe hit some shots. Just like in Southern Miss, though, you know, even though it looks like we might be a step slow, we're making enough shots to have the lead. That lead could have been larger. You know, Kobe tried a cross-court pass that was easily picked off for a layup. You know, difference the one he made a good one like that in Lafayette because he had his feet set on this one. He did it while he was on the run. Isaiah missed an easy putback right under the basket, even though he had a decent game. So, again, you know, we have a midway to the half or late in the half with a 5-point lead. Could have been larger. Didn't you think that as well?
Yeah, that and exactly. And I think your point is well taken. I think Kobe or somebody earlier in the game had a nice cross-court pass. But that one right there, you could see the defender. And I think Kobe's tall enough, he should have seen that defender ready to pick that pass off. So that was rough, I guess.
Yeah. Well, here was a bad sign, and it happened in the second half frequently, which it's almost never going to win when this happens. Is they got a rebound off a missed free throw, and they got a basket. And that gives them a little momentum. I remember when Jesse Evans was our coach years ago, we did that frequently. We were pretty good getting rebounds off missed free throws. But, you know, the start, unlike the beginning of the game, where, you know, when they're driving inside down, they keep driving, they're beating them, and they're kicking back out for open threes. I forget the guy's name. I think it's Phillips. He hits a couple late in the half, and he continued in the second half. So, but late in the half, coach does the same thing he did in the middle of the half. He plays the subs. They do okay. They got the lead at 5. At halftime, I noticed Jordan's only got 4 points, so he's not getting the ball.
Yeah, he only took 5 shots.
Yeah. So sometimes you think, well, he's only got 4 points. We got the lead. We're in good shape. You know, he's going to get double figures in the second half. But that didn't happen. And despite all of the fact we had the lead and Jordan didn't score much, I did not feel comfortable. I just sensed the team was not playing with energy. The reason they had the lead was Jalen made a few shots. And unfortunately, I was right that we continued to the second half. How do you feel at the half?
I that was another game, like you said, it did not feel comfortable. You could see the lack of energy, I guess. It just wasn't there. I'm hoping, especially with ULM coming in this weekend, we'll talk about that a little bit. I really hope that they get that energy back that they've been playing with this year.
Agreed. Thursday affected Saturday. I don't think there's any doubt. So just as we feared, the second half begins. The offense appears stagnant. There's little movement away from the ball. A poor inbounds pass leads to a Troy basket, and pretty soon they've got the lead. I will say one of my buddies who knows a lot about basketball was a really good high school player. Mentioned something to me. He was at the Southern Miss game, but he also watched the Troy game. He said, "So Troy did something where they were making it difficult for teams to get the ball. You know, he usually hands the ball maybe 20 seconds out of possessions, but they sort of shaded him and made us pass the ball to the other guys on inbounds pass, things like that, which slowed us down getting into our offense. That might be why we were stagnant. When you say stagnant, too, there's little movement away from the ball. I know our offense is a lot to dribble, get in the Jordan, maybe kick it out, but the other guys have to move to get those plays open, and the people were just standing around. Okay, so then the rebound issue continues. I think 3 times in the second half, we didn't get a rebound on a missed free throw. One resulted in a 3. So, you know, free 3 points. Another resulted, okay, we foul a guy on an and one. He misses the and one. They get the rebound and make a basket. That's, in fact, a 4-point play. You know, so compared to what happened in the first half, you know, there's probably 10 points or close to it, 7 to 10 on missed free throws. That's a huge impact on a game. If you just grab those rebounds, you're close going down the stretch instead of having a situation where you're desperate. Yeah, the game really got away from us, you know, about halfway through the second half. At the second media timeout, which is about, you know, less than 12, 11 minutes to go, the game started 46. So they were right in it. In the next media timeout, the next four minutes, we're down 7. And some of that came with Phillips just continuing his good play the first half. He came off the bench and he's hitting some open threes. So they're down seven, okay. And we about 5 minutes to go, we're still within the reach, you know. But then late in the game, Troy separates. When we take this try to press or trap on a half court, and they get a lot of layups and continue to hit open threes. So the lead continues. They make some free throws as well. And the Cajuns late in the game getting patient and shooting threes that were a little too quick. Again, that's just like in the Southern Miss game. It's fine to take threes when you're late, but don't rush them. You know, continue to run your offense. Don't get into desperation move. And those were not necessarily open. So it ends up being a 15-point game. Very disappointing.
I think two things. It goes back, like we said about in the first game and what you just mentioned now, three-point shooting. Although we shot a little better, we were still not good enough. And the glaring thing to me are two things here. You know, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look, but this had to have been Jordan Brown's probably worst game as a Cajun with only 8 points and five rebounds. And when I'm glad to see Isaiah Richards getting a few minutes and getting eight rebounds, that was good to see. But when Isaiah Richards only plays 11 minutes, and he's your top rebounder, you got a problem.
Yeah, so. Right. Well, Coach Marlin mentioned something in his press conference yesterday that I read about in one of the papers today, that he blamed himself and the staff for not doing enough to ensure Jordan got the ball. Troy did some things to prevent him from getting the ball. He didn't play in the first game, so we didn't know how they were going to guard him. You remember, that was the game he was out. And in that game, Lewis had a good game. Lewis didn't do much in either of these two games, so they got to do something in the next home games to get him back involved. But maybe be a little bit more patient than maybe what my buddy said. Okay, preventing teams from getting the ball, making it harder for him to get the ball, makes it more difficult to get in our offense. That may be why Jordan had a hard time getting the ball. But, you know, if we play Troy again, we'll do something different there. Another thing I noticed from the box score is the second straight game, they allow over 50%. Again, that's somewhat when they separate, when we put a lot of pressure on them and they do a good job of beating the trap, beating the press. I mean, you don't have energy, you're going to give up baskets. We also got out rebounded and we were barely at 50% from the line, all in the indicative of a lack of energy. Now, I want to make a point here too, so it's not too critical. Lack of energy does not mean lack of effort. They're two different things. You know, you can be trying as hard as you have, but if your body doesn't have the fuel needed to actually do what you want it to do, or your brain, it's just impossible. I've played enough sports in my life to know some days you just don't have it. You try it harder than ever, and sometimes you just makes it worse. So energy and effort are not the same thing. There's physical effort, but I also think the emotional and mental effort were not there, and I think there was definitely the residue from Southern Miss. They put so much into that game. I really think they thought they were going to win that game, and they were so disappointed. They had a tough time coming back. But I don't want to make it sound like the guys weren't trying. That's not the case at all.
Absolutely. I think you get to a point, though, where, you, like you said, your body can't – your mind's telling you to do something, and you're just it's a some of it's mental, and I really think it goes back to Thursday's game. The energy they exerted there, the crowd, and then it sometimes it goes to, and I really think, and we've talked about this already, the game before that you lost beat you again, unfortunately, and you can't let that happen.
Yep, it's exactly what happened. I think that happened in the first road trip of the year against Coastal Carolina and Old Dominion. So we needed but we don't have that situation again from the rest of the year, because we won't be playing two road games in a row anymore. So we'll see how that affects us at, you know, in the rest of the season. Hopefully we'll be dealing coming off victories. I don't really have much more to say about the Troy game. I think we've said it all. We can say it over and over again. You know, just didn't have it that day. And people also in your regular life, even if you're not an athlete, some days you're just better than others at your regular job.
Yeah, exactly.
Your brain just not with it for whatever reason. You may have something going on at home. And, you know, in this particular case, you know, disappointment of Thursday's loss definitely affected Saturday. It's time to move on now. We'll take a break here before we talk about the next two games coming up.
You've been listening. We're talking. We're talking basketball, Raging Cajun basketball with Mike Gabarro. We'll be back after this brief timeout. Welcome back into We're Talking. We're talking Raging Cajun Basketball with Mike Hebert. Mike, ULM coming to town. I think they went to Southern Miss. I watched that game on Saturday. They played well for, again, probably the first 30 minutes of the game. And then they're just with only playing six players, they seem like they run out of gas, especially since the Marshall double overtime win. It seems like they've been struggling a little bit, but I'm sure being back home for a couple of days is going to give them a little energy too. What do we need to look out for?
They usually play well on Thursdays and struggle on Saturdays because of the depth, as you just mentioned. But last Thursday, they also lost that game. They had a home game, but I heard Jay Walker on a radio interview say they shot 20% for the game or something like that, or in the high 20s. So it was one of those games that shots just didn't fall for them. And then they're playing with arguably the best team in the league on the road on Saturday after a tough home game. So not surprisingly, they struggled. That score was 76-67, but they did have the lead at half. Talking about the benches, I want to go back to the Troy game. That is one thing that was a positive for the Cajuns. And that they had 26 points from our bench guys, which may be a high for the year. So I'm hoping that gets our bench going, gives them a little confidence. And it may be a factor in Thursday's game. You know, if we get 26 points from our bench on Thursday night, we'll probably win. As far as ULM goes, we've played them already, so we don't really need to talk a lot about them. Their best outside player is a guy named Blackman. I think he had well over 30 in their double overtime win at Marshall. You know, he hit 8-some threes. The previous game against Southern Miss, he wasn't as effective, but he did score 14. The other guard, LaCour, is also decent. He can have a good game now and then. And Howell is a pretty good inside player. He had 10 rebounds against Southern Miss. They're going to be well coached, too. Also, go back to the game we played in mid-January in Monroe. Cajuns got out to a 23-4 lead. There was a pretty good crowd there for Monroe there. They had, for ULM, they had 3,500 people there, and they were making a lot of noise. Remember watching that game? So being disappointed at playing at home, I'm sure the Cajuns will get the Warhawks' best shot. You know, similar to what we just played the last two opponents. We handled both of them pretty well in the first game, and both of them wanted to get us. We played on the road this past weekend. I'm sure ULM will have the same attitude. So I don't expect the game to be quite as easy as the first one was, quite frankly.
I'm just looking here. They actually played seven guys the last time they played us, and their bench scored 20 points. I think that's something we've got to stop. We can't allow their guys to come off the bench, even though, one of them ended up playing 29 minutes, so more than one of the starters. But at the same time, you can't allow that a team that does not have a lot of depth to come off the bench and give them that.
Yeah, the bench could be key. In the game against Southern Miss, they had two guys play 19 minutes each off the bench, and they scored a total of 12 points, which is probably happy. That's probably typical. So when they scored 20-something against us, that's probably a pretty good night. Also, we had a big lead that night. They probably played the bench a little bit more.
That's true. Minutes.
Yeah, so we'll see. That's a normal 7 o'clock game. There's no women's game in front of it. I think our women are on the road. Baseball and softball are not home, so hopefully we get a few people out. Remember, just because you lose a couple of games doesn't mean the guys don't deserve some support. We can spend more of our time talking about Old Dominion. Since we haven't played, not Old Dominion, James Madison.
James Madison, yeah. Let's spend a little more time there. I agree with you. Before we go there, though, we just can't – and I know there's some people who say that we should not lose to ULM in any sport, but it's they're going to be fired up to come down here. They always are, and we've got to be ready for that. We've got to shake off the last two games just like we did at the beginning of the season and show energy in the Cajun Dome.
Yeah, right. Well, we lost those first two games. We played a really good game against Southern Miss in early January, and that got us a few to a good run. And Coach DeRestar is a good coach. You know, they're going to be prepared. We've been prepared most of our games this year, so it should be a good game on Thursday. The interesting thing about Saturday's game is the team is leaving on the only charter flight of the year Friday afternoon Friday at noon, exactly. So it's a direct flight. Where is James Madison? What's the city they're in Virginia?
I tell you what, go ahead and talk, and I'll take a
what, what Well, either they're going straight to whatever the city's in or very nearby when it'll be a short bus trip. So kudos to the administration for recognizing, you know, when this is a one game road trip, definitely not drivable. So this would be, if there's going to one game you're going to charter to, it's this one. The Dukes have been winning quite a few lately. I think they lost on Thursday, but they beat Coastal Carolina 73-66 in their last game.
They're in Harrisburg, Virginia. So,
Yeah, they're 9-5
Harrisonburg.
in the league. Yeah. Who do they play on Thursday, by the way?
They played, here we go. They have Old Dominion, so, and they're
Well,
at
that's
home.
gonna, but still, that would be maybe in our favor. Two teams in the same state. I'm sure it's gonna be quite a rivalry game, so that may put a lot of effort into that game. So they're 9-5 in the league right now. You know, we need to keep winning because if we end up both with five losses, they'll have the tiebreaker over us because we only played him once. But who knows what'll happen in the Old Dominion State game? That can game go either way. As far as their team goes, they score 80 points a game and they give up 67. So that's a pretty good margin. So they force 18 turnovers a game, and four guys average double figures. So they must, with that many points scored, that few points allowed, that many turnovers, they must try to play the fast pace and try to pressure the ball. Their best guard is a guy named Edwards. He's number five. But he's only averaging 13 points a game. The leading scorer is averaging 13 points a game. That shows you how balanced they are.
Well, I was going to say that in the and he leads them. Well, not quite leads them, but he's they're guys with the most minutes only average 25.8 and 26.5. So, you know, it's not one of those things that they're playing a lot of minutes. So I'm sure they do like to run the ball.
Yeah, and Edwards actually came off the bench. Their leading scorer came off the bench in their last game, and he had 16 points and at 27 minutes. So sometimes he's probably a finisher, not a starter. Sometimes he may be one of those guys that plays better off the bench. Their best rebounder is a guy named Ofram, who's number 13, but he's averaging less than 6 rebounds a game. He had 10 in their previous game against Coastal Carolina. However, with their leading guy averaging less than 6 rebounds a game, they're still out rebounding their opponents something like 37-35 for the season. So they're a team that, you know, they're balanced scoring and they're balanced rebounding. Got a good bench. So it'll be a challenge for sure on Saturday night. And it should be an exciting game too. Both teams like to push the ball up and down the court. We can't play like we're getting in Southern Miss, where we're getting in transition and not converting and missing opportunities.
Well, that's one thing that we've got to convert those opportunities, like you said, hit the 3-point shot, because both of those allow us to get back on defense. You mentioned that earlier in the year, and I think we really saw that against Southern Miss and Troy. The inability to score affected our defense.
Yeah, well, against Southern Miss, for their perspective, they were making shots, which allowed them to get back on defense, which made our offense struggle. Yeah, in some ways, against both Southern Miss and Troy, for a while, it looked like our struggles on defense were affecting our offense. Sometimes it goes the other way around. You know, if you don't let your missed shots affect your defense, well, it looked like we were struggling on defense, which was affecting our offense from a technical perspective. But that game, I think, is at, what is it, 7 Eastern, 6 Central? Will probably be both games. They're probably normally ESPN Plus.
Yes. Yes, ESPN Plus, 7 Eastern, 6 Central. Yes, sorry.
And I imagine there'll be a good crowd. Like I noticed the other day that the top four teams in the league attendance-wise are all the four new teams. Southern Miss has not drawn well in basketball in recent years, but they're having such a good year this year. Their fans are enjoying their success so much. It's probably indicative of why they haven't won in so long. They're starved for a winner. And the other three teams are just in basketball country in West Virginia and Virginia, where it means more there than it means here, quite frankly. So I'm sure it'll be a good crowd there that we'll have to go against Saturday night as well.
I think part of it too, Mike, when you look at their schedule, they're coming off their 4-game road swing in conference, so I'm sure they're going to be glad to be back home. Hopefully, they got a little weary legs from all the travel and everything.
Yeah, and they're playing what's going to be their main conference rival on Thursday night. To their
So,
benefit, though, is their bench. So our bench is going to have to play the way they played the second half against, or the way they played the whole game, actually, against Troy. That was the one positive from Troy, is our bench played well. We're going to have to do that again.
And the other thing is there, you know, you look at they played ULM, which probably might be the first time that ULM and JMU played in basketball. They had over 6,000 fans there for that game. So kudos to them.
Yeah. 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 And maybe the crowd we had against Marshall will become a regular here in future years. You know, if a team keeps having the success like they've had on that 10-game winning streak. I want to say one thing as we go beyond this. Just was announced yesterday. People may not realize it. You know, our last two home games will be a week from tomorrow on the 22nd, Ash Wednesday, and on the 24th, First Friday. I know we're conflicting with baseball there, but the Friday game on the 24th has been chosen for ESPN, ESPN2 rather. That's a linear network. It's not ESPN Plus. So, you know, that's one game we don't want to have the stadium empty. You want to have a good showing for the nation. And if that even affects sports like football, you know, you want to make a good reputation for your fans, support for your recruiting and all the other sports. So that's 8 p.m. on the 24th. So that's a schedule change. So people may want to mark that down.
You know, in the team's 20-6, 10-4 in conference play. You take out the three non-D ones, still 17-6. It's a successful season. I know it's frustrating, especially at the beginning of conference play with the two losses. And then right now, those last two losses are very much on everyone's mind. But at the same time, these guys play hard and deserve some good crowds coming out.
Yeah. Yeah, I suspect, like I've said most of the time, regardless of what happens, you know, I can't promise you're going to win if they shoot 2 for 15 from three again. They're probably not. But generally, they're going to play hard. They're going to play together as a team. The team success is more important than the individual success, and they're generally well prepared. The last two teams we played made some adjustments from the first game. I'm sure Coach Richard will do the same, but we need to do the same as well. And I suspect Coach Marlin and the squad will be ready for their adjustments.
Yes, sir. All right, Mike, any last words of wisdoms or thought before we sign off for the day?
Yeah, it's coming down the stretch here. Can't have any margin of error. The guys know that. So I think you'll see a motivated squad Thursday night. So regardless if you're at the game, listening to the radio, or watching on TV, I expect you'll be entertained.
Absolutely. Mike, thank you as always. Appreciate your time. Enjoy talking basketball, even after a loss that sometimes it's therapy to talk about those losses for fans that tend to get involved with it, everything. So I appreciate your time.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you this, looking at it maybe from a evaluation analysis analytical perspective actually makes it easier to take the losses where you have to take the emotion out of it and say why what happened did happen. So yeah. Appreciate it as well. Thank you.
All right. You've been listening to We're Talking. We've been talking basketball, Raging Cajun basketball with Mike Hebert.
Any redistribution or reproduction of any part or all of the contents in any form is prohibited, except, who the hell are we kidding? Distribute it, share it, put it in your podcast, broadcast it, or put it on social media. Just give credit where credit's due.